Salon Montage is the Twin Cities' premier salon and spa destination and proud official hair sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. With three convenient locations in Edina, Woodbury, and Chanhassen, there is a salon close to you. Visit online at salon.com.
Yo, what's going on? The clock is ticking. The NFL draft is less than 3 weeks away. And in today's show, Jay Nelson and I highlight what that means heading into draft night. Our special guest today is Mr. Bucky Brooks from NFL.com. He is in LA with Tatum Everett discussing what the Vikings shall or will do with their two first round selections in this year's draft. Let's get right to it. Well, episode 265 of the Minnesota Vikings podcast is underway, and my name is Gabe Henderson. Inside the radio studio with me right now is Jay Nelson from Vikings.com, our producer Eric Davidson. Tatum Everett is usually in here, but she's out west in L.A. catching some of the NFL Network's talent, catching some of those interviews with those guys and gals, and keeping you guys up to date on Vikings.com. Make sure you check that out. Actually, our guest interview today comes from Tatum and our guy Bucky Brooks, who's at the NFL Network headquarters in L.A., and they are discussing all things NFL draft as we are as we record, we are 3 weeks away from the start of draft, Jay.
Yeah, Bucky Brooks is always great. He's always somebody that we lean on off-season and during the season. He's always, you know, really honest about his opinions on the way things are going and just being able to kind of look over what the Vikings have been doing. So Tatum being able to spend some time with him out in L.A. at NFL Network is awesome. We kind of talked about that last week a little bit, just the partnership of being able to work with NFL Network. So should be, pumping out tons of content here and just getting all the inside information as to what they think the Vikings are potentially going to do here in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, this is an exciting time. Just thinking about how things have transpired from the start of free agency, trying to figure out if Kirk Cousins was going to resign. We didn't know what that looked like until after the combine. So a couple of the interviews that are coming out, this is kind of, I guess, recapping, hey, look, forget everything we talked about pre-combine because everything has changed now. The Vikings have two first-round picks. A lot of people were thinking the Vikings are going to go quarterback in the first round if that's the case, just due to Kirk Cousins not being here, who was here for the past 6 years. So trying to figure out where this Vikings team stand. Jay, we can't speculate, but every time, I know you and I talked off air, every time we turn on X or Twitter, there is always some new Vikings news of, well, this is what the Vikings are thinking, or this is what the Vikings will do. How have you assessed the vibe, the temperature, the theme this year versus your lifelong career of being a Vikings fan?
To me, this is always kind of that no man's land subterfuge. There's always something spinning.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, somebody throws out an opinion and then you see other people pick up on it and debate that opinion. And then they're running back and forth and it's, is it this guy or is it that guy? And what are we going to do? And I think, typically whenever you're a team that has some sort of a larger roster change, especially at the quarterback position like we did this year, I kind of look at that as like the delineation line of, you know, like you said, there's kind of the pre-speculation to now the reality of where we currently are. I think, in past years when you've had higher draft picks, that's when people really, the noise and the chatter really starts to churn. We're at that point now, like we were talking about, you know, we're 3 weeks out from the draft. So things are starting to really kind of come to a peak. You're going to get a ton of different speculation from whether it's experts or former players or current players or whatever else. Everyone's going to ask their opinion, especially for a team like the Vikings that's now looking for possibly looking for a quarterback in the draft. And on top of that has two first round picks. So it just kind of shows that, you know, there is intrigue and interest there, not only what was going to happen with Kirk Cousins, but now that we know that, now that you have those two higher draft picks, you have the ability to kind of flex your muscles and be able to potentially move around if you choose to. So I just think, for a lot of fans and a lot of people out there, whether it's local or national, the Vikings are an intriguing team to see what decisions they do make here in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, that is a really good point. It's just there are a lot of burning questions. I know we were talking a little bit just from looking at NFL.com's website. Every team has a burning question that a lot of the analysts are asking. And the number one burning question for this Minnesota Vikings team is, are they really going to proceed with Sam Darnold as QB1? We knew that Sam Darnold is one of over a dozen free agency signings that the Vikings have had. But when you look at the NFL perspective from a large scope, the quarterback is usually the identity of the team. So when you think about that and you think about what Kevin O'Connell has said about Sam Darnold, having understood that they're two completely different ages, but they've had some similarities in the past. Their high schools that they both went to, that they both attended, are 30 minutes apart in California.
Sure.
They've had numerous conversations prior to Sam Darnold becoming a Viking. And then fast forward to now, Sam Darnold, this is his first time having an offensive-minded head coach, a guy that – or a quarterback-friendly head coach that thinks the way he does. And we've heard Kevin O'Connell say, look, I am going to be in our quarterback room a little bit more. I'm going to shift some of these responsibilities on my other coaches to make sure that this next guy who calls plays is going to have my identity and this identity of this offense. So answering that burning question, Sam Darnold is QB1. Right now, what are your thoughts?
Right now, my thoughts are basically Sam Darnold is coming into an offense where he's got a ton of weapons around him. Mm-hmm. And then a guy, like you said, having a offensive-minded head coach as somebody to help kind of guide and steer where this offense is going to go. I think it's custom set for a guy like Sam Darnold to come in here and be able to kind of have the entire playbook and everything kind of set at his feet to say, you know, this is the ideal situation of what we could get out of you. So for them, it's going to be a process of during the offseason and in season trying to evaluate what they fully got here with Sam. So like Sam is going to be set up to be as comfortable and basically as kind of catered to as possible when it comes to this offense, having weapons and everything else around him. Then it just turns around to, you know, what do the coaches and everybody assess as far as what they're seeing. So for Sam, he's going to have a prime opportunity here to be able to step into the building and really command this offense. And it's going to be up to him to make those moves during the season to actually make it fit.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, just looking at our current roster, our current team right now, like we still have three quarterbacks under contract. We have Sam Darnold, we have Jaren Hall, we have Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins finished the season off strong last year. Sam Darnold was coming into a situation, like you just said, is a QB-friendly offense, and then Jaren Hall is making that next step from year one to year two. So let's say the Vikings do draft a quarterback. They do have three other guys that they can learn from. If the Vikings don't draft a quarterback, they have guys that have played in this system last year that can ultimately make that next step in their career. So I'm interested to see what that looks like under this Kevin O'Connell scheme. But it's just a very interesting offseason. Like for me personally, this is the most excited I've been heading into the draft because there are so many unknowns. I know we talked about this before, but when I was in Washington and Kevin O'Connell was the offensive coordinator in 2019, there was a burning need for a quarterback simply due to the fact that Alex Smith unfortunately broke his leg. He broke his leg earlier in the year. We knew we were going to draft a quarterback first round. God rest his soul, we drafted Dwayne Haskins, I believe with the 15th overall pick that year, and everybody went nuts. There was a buzz in Washington because everybody was excited about what this new leader or what this new era of football could be under that scheme and Kevin O'Connell. So to have Kevin O'Connell kind of redo this all over again, but as head coach, I'm excited for fans that are going through this with us.
I think the whole idea for most organizations is, you know, if you can find a bona fide superstar quarterback that sets you up for success for a longer set of time. So again, like you said, you've got, you know, three quarterbacks that are in there. Mm-hmm. Two of those quarterbacks have been through the system before, so they should understand how it works, the verbiage, and be able to help the other guys get up to speed. Mm-hmm. Having Sam signed as early as they did through the free agency period gives him maximum amount of time to work with those coaches. It feels like, you know, with Josh is in the quarterback room kind of leading the group, he's got a ton of experience as well as a quarterback. And, you know, like we said, your head coach is a former quarterback and kind of understands and knows what he's looking from that position. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be able to verbalize exactly what he's looking for. And it as per our usual, you know, these guys are all adults. They're big boys with their big boy pants on. It's going to be on them to understand that offense and work through it as much as possible in order to be as comfortable and as quick as they can so that you can kind of figure out what the identity is, because it's not just the quarterback position here for this team that changed this offseason. You have a change at running back and you've got to, you know, you're trying to figure out what's going to go on. Sounds like Hockenson's, you know, doing well in his rehab. He's showing stuff on social media. But just in general, the idea of trying to get everyone on the same page and get that chemistry going in the offense, I think they're going to do everything they can as fast as they can to make sure that everyone's comfortable.
I'm excited just to kind of see how, you know, how all the dominoes somewhat fall in place between now and the start of the draft, which is April 26th. Vikings fans, make sure you go to Vikings.com/draft party to attend this year's Miller Lite draft party at U.S. Bank Stadium. It is going to be crazy. It is going to be a vibe, as the kids would say. I will be there. Jay, you'll be there, right?
Yeah, so it's one of those things that it's always kind of weird for some of us because there's the stuff going on at the stadium. There's the stuff going on back here and just trying to figure out who's going to be where. So we're going to be doing a ton of setup at the stadium, getting everything ready. I know that the game presentation department has already been putting a ton of time into it, and they're kind of, you know, buttoning everything up, and then we just got to go and set everything up to be executed. So there's a ton of efforts going into this, and there's some different levels as far as different packages and stuff for the draft party. So you can go there and just kind of be the Rube walking around and enjoying the other stuff, or you can go look for some of those other extra special offers that are out there. So go check it out, Vikings.com draft party. There's it's open to the public completely at this point, and you know, try to snag some of those special experiences because there's some really cool stuff planned for that evening.
Yeah, I'm going to try to snag our producer Eric Davidson as my plus one. He usually doesn't attend draft party, but this year I'm going to make sure he's there. Personally, I look at the draft party as, I don't know if it's like this for you, Jay, but, you know, after the last home game of the season, there's like this lull of like nothing, right? So the draft party for me is like the first preseason game or the first home game, because you finally get to get back in the stadium, you finally get to be around fans, and it ultimately makes me start looking forward to the season. So thinking of home games, I know the free agency, I guess, frenzy is starting to slow down, and just looking at some of these opponents that we have, I want to talk through some of these home opponents and home games that we have this year, and things that, I guess, storylines that kind of stand out to you, starting with the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
We know there is a lot of talk right now talking about Jonathan Greenard, who is our outside linebacker right now, who was in Houston last year. Basically, people are saying we traded him for Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter is now their new elite pass rusher down in Houston, and now those guys are on our schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Add on to that, news just came out that Stephon Diggs is the newest wide receiver for the Houston Texans. I believe he was traded there for a second rounder from the Bills somewhere. I believe the Houston Texans traded a second rounder in 2025.
Yeah, there were multiple picks that were included. Yep.
And in return, the Buffalo Bills traded him to the Houston Texans. So there's a lot of storylines. There's a lot of familiarity. But what stands out to you about that opponent right now as we speak?
Danielle, Diggs, Mixon, even the idea of C.J. Stroud last year really making that jump. They've got some crazy weapons on both offense and defense. And to me, I think the biggest storyline going, especially from last year, was just how quickly they turned that entire team around as far as being part of that division within the AFC conference and kind of the competitive nature of it. And all of a sudden they were shot out of a cannon last year with C.J. Stroud at the helm and Morris, the head coach. So to me, the thing about the Texans is that it's really kind of crazy to see how much you think like, hey, we got these guys and we can kind of slow roll it and kind of wean them into this whole thing. They are not on that schedule right now. It feels like they are making huge moves to try to say, we understand what we got here. We got a young, hot rookie quarterback who's going to go into his sophomore year now. And we are going to make as many moves as possible to set up this franchise, not only offensively, but defensively, to support that. And I think there's a huge buzz right now in Houston, feeling like they got something special just starting at the front end of a new regime for that team.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. To your point, I mean, when you have a talented quarterback still on a rookie deal for at least two or three more years, you can build a team, you can gather assets and pay them big money to help fill a few voids to get yourself in position to play for a Super Bowl. So their window is right now, and we saw that last year.
And I think the other thing, too, was saying kind of the division feels wide open.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like Jacksonville, Tennessee, or Indianapolis are really, you know, got a stranglehold on that division right now. So all those teams were kind of in a little bit of an arms race trying to make some moves here. And you saw, you know, a bunch of moves with Jacksonville and even Indy. There's just a ton of a feeling like right now their window is opening. I hate to say it just because it's a comparison within our own division, but to me right now, Houston kind of has a little bit of that feeling like Detroit did, where they just feel like, hey, we got something special going on right now. And that to me is the piece for them that I think it's got to be most exciting for Houston fans. And you know, I've got some family down in Houston, just the idea of there's a buzz now that those guys are going to try to run, especially having guys like Tank Dell and Nico Collins, you know, being younger as well. Like all three, those two guys, and now you add in Diggs, feel like they have a ton of serious weapons there at off on the wide receiver position for their offense.
I mean, I'm just going to highlight another storyline this year with another team that we play at home, the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to talk about Kirk Cousins being back in Minnesota. If that game is here, of course, we know there are we have a game in London this year. There's a game overseas this fall. Not sure which team it'll be, but it's going to be one of these home teams that are not in the division. So it's either going to be the Cardinals, 49ers, Texans, Colts, Falcons, or Jets. But speaking of the Falcons, what stands out to you about that game?
I mean, Kirk is the number one storyline when it comes to that whole idea. I mean, the thing about the Falcons is there was a lot of questions saying, like, you know, were they going to be willing? Is Arthur Blank and those guys going to be willing to you know, pony up the dough to make this kind of a thing a reality? And obviously he did. But they also turned around and added a guy in Darnell Mooney. I think, you know, Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore coming in at wide receiver, and then Charlie Werner at tight end. So, like, you can see that a team last year that kind of struggled a little bit.
A lot of speed.
Yeah, and you know, having the new coach, and then they're bringing that in. They're also looking at it from the standpoint of they've got Bijan Robinson at running back. So, like, we have a potential superstar at running back. We need to add those extra weapons around him to free him up, to let him be able to have a little bit more one-on-one matchups with linebackers versus guys stacking the box. To me, that was the thing about Atlanta, was just the idea that they went out and grabbed some more offensive weapons to try to really make that a lot more potent. So a guy like Kirk going in there, if he's healthy, he's going to be able to sling the rock to a bunch of talented guys. And a guy like Bijan also does some damage in space, so you could be catching a lot of swing passes. So to me, it's going to be fun to watch Atlanta and kind of what that offense potentially turns into, and then see how our defense stacks up against that. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of familiarity there, having worked against Kirk in the past in practice.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to highlight just a few other teams and see which one stands out to you. The Arizona Cardinals are home this year. The San Francisco 49ers, back-to-back years, we play them home. And then there is the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. Any of those four teams come to mind, or anything from any of those four games that stand out to you that come to mind?
There's two to me, which are kind of a little bit more of the asterisk ones for me. One is the 49ers, and one is the Jets. Jets purely because I want to see if Rodgers comes back, you know, bringing him back in the building. There was always a ton of fun when the fans could kind of jump on him with Green Bay, and he always made our lives miserable. So I think it would be a lot of fun to see a healthy Aaron Rodgers come back in here, and just to see what that kind of matchup would be like. He's also coming in with a completely different team with that Jets. That defense has continued this year to stack, and their front is kind of nasty. And so, you know, we've got new running back, and they've got some new defensive line play. So again, there's just a ton of moves that have been made there with the Jets. So that's an intriguing one to me.
Yeah.
The other one is the Niners. I want to see what the Niners turn into this year, because they lost some big names. They lost Eric Armstead. They lost Chase Young. They Darnold and Javon Kinlaw, Charlie Werner, like we just mentioned him before, and then Isaiah Oliver, but they've also got 10 draft picks. So like the Niners were a team that, you know, they had a ton of success. Again, they went in and they added in some guys, and Leonard Floyd, Yeter Gross-Matos. He's a guy that I know that when he came out draft-wise, he was a hot commodity. Devondre Campbell, Jordan Elliott, and then they signed Josh Dobbs here in this offseason. So to me, the Niners are always a tough team. I think you're going to get a tough team again, and let's see what Mr. Purdy does. I don't think he's Mr. Irrelevant anymore.
No, he's relevant.
He's definitely a talker for that Niners offense. So to me, it's those two, given the ones that you just cited. For home games, I'm very curious to see Aaron Rodgers possibly come back in here, and then to see what version of the Niners we're going to get this year, because they always seem like they're a tough out.
Yeah, we're going to have some really tough tests from a defensive standpoint as far as teams that have really been stacking their defense. We know our offense has been one of the top 10 to 15 offenses in the NFL for the past couple of years, so it'll be interesting to see how we fare with a new guy under center not named Kirk Cousins. Like, Kevin O'Connell is going to have his work cut out, but to your point, we do have a lot of weapons still to be able to, I guess, mitigate some of the risk for whoever's calling plays, or whoever's calling plays, but whoever's lining up under center, executing those plays that Kevin O'Connell ultimately calls. Moving to the AFC, I mean, not AFC, but to our road opponents. I mean, I feel like we're traveling coast to coast all year long. Like, we travel to LA to face the Rams. Seattle Seahawks, then to Jacksonville. This is in no particular order. Then to Tennessee, and then to the then to New York to face the New York Giants. Like, there are so many different trips that we have planned this year, and so many different teams that could ultimately affect, you know, the seating when it comes to playoff picture at the end of the year.
And London. You know, and add London into that too. So you're going, this is kind of the year where everything shook out, where you have the AFC South, but then you've also got the NFC West. So like you said, you're heading to LA, you're heading to Seattle, you're heading down to Tennessee, you're heading down to Jacksonville. You're also then, because of the way that it finished with the year, your NFC East opponent this year is going to be the New York Giants. Mm. And so that's going to be on the East Coast. So yeah, you're going to be doing a lot of bipolar flying here. Luckily, you know, for guys like yourself who are on a lot of those road trips, you're going to be at least in the middle of the country, and they're 3.5 hour flights instead of 6 hour flights.
Yeah. The worst flight is always the London flight.
Sure.
Because last year or 2 years ago, we flew out Thursday night. And basically, they told us to treat it like we were going to sleep or going home. Instead of going home, you went home on an airplane, flew 7 hours, and then landed, woke up, and it was Friday. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, good morning, this and that. And your body still hasn't figured out, you know, how to adjust. If the Vikings are required to be in London the entire week as the home team, similar to how they've done in years past when they were the home team, it's going to be interesting to see how this workflow works out.
So when we went the very first year, I believe it was 2013, when we went, I was on that trip, and I'm one of the people, for people that know me, I'm a little taller, I'm a little bigger. I do not fit well in plane seats. And so the idea of sitting in a plane for 6.5 to 7 hours going to London, middle of the night, and oh, by the way, we had just lost a game to the Cleveland Browns.
It's the worst.
North Turner and the Cleveland Browns the night before. So we were all salty. We hadn't got a win yet on the season. And it's like, oh, by the way, you're going to jump on this plane. You got a little extra leg room and arm room because of the people that were on the flight. But at the same point, I couldn't sleep. Mm. And so I was having a hard time overnight, everything, and we land, and all of a sudden we're there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, hopping on a bus, and then we had to go to an event where the kids were, you know, they're doing like a football event for the kids, and they can interact with the players, and everybody else is still glassy-eyed, and I'm having to go out there with a camera and film the whole thing. By the time we got to the hotel room at like 4:30 in the afternoon, I was gassed. I'm like, I'm not supposed to do this, but I got to take a nap or I'm going to die.
But that's the thing too, is like, you take a nap and you wake up more tired because your body still hasn't adjusted. And then there's a Vikings event that night that you have to be on for. So to that point, it's like, I remember last year, I was with the KFAN guys. We landed, and when you get off the plane, you get on the buses, there was a sprinter in front of the four buses that took the team to the hotel. We made a right to go to the city. The buses made a left to go back to the hotel. Yeah. And it took us about an hour to drive 10 miles. Mm-hmm. So you're already tired from being in the car. But it's also like, hey, let's figure this out. Because when we get to this destination, everybody is about to be on. So it's exciting, but it's also a draining trip in a good way.
Some of my favorite blackmail photos that I currently have for some of my long-term colleagues here come from that trip because of people passed out on those buses. You know, these guys with a face pillow, and they're just planted into the seat in front of them and things like that. So it's always a fun trip. It's an interesting trip. I think, you know, there is the debate. Like you said, you guys went out on a Thursday. There's a debate. Do you go earlier? Do you go later? I know with us now being the home team instead of the away team, typically there's more responsibilities that way while you're out there.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, for me, like that London trip, that first London trip that we took when we played the Steelers, is probably in my top three moments of being a Vikings employee. Mm. It purely because it was such a unique thing at Wembley Stadium, but the atmosphere is great. Everyone's geeked. London rolls out the red carpet for those kind of events. So for those people that have the opportunity to possibly or go or are thinking about it, I'd highly recommend it. It's just it's an interesting thing to think about the celebration of the NFL over in London. And I think whomever our opponent is, you know, coming up here this year, I think it's going to be a really fun opportunity for fans to be able to enjoy kind of rolling out the red carpet or the purple carpet there in London here this year for the Vikings.
I didn't get hired here until 2020. Mm-hmm. So I could only imagine how that game was in Wembley. For me personally, being a boxing fan and being a new soccer fan and have seen all the matches and events that have taken place at Wembley, and to be a part of a football event at that stadium, that had to be nuts. Like, just being at Tottenham Hotspur 2 years ago and, you know, seeing how that stadium is built, it is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I still felt like, man, like, I wonder how that year was in 2013 when you're, you know, in the presence of just, I don't know, like, when I go to Green Bay or when I go to Lambeau Field, I feel the greats.
And historic
I
know buildings.
It's, yeah, so, like, Wembley is that for me. So I can only imagine how that was.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And like I said, it was kind of a weird deal where, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers and the Vikings were supposed to be two premier franchises at the mm-hmm. point. We were both 0-4 at the time, which is kind of crazy.
That's how it works.
But the whole point of it is, like, for me, the idea of this, like you said, you know, going to Tottenham, you know that you're in one of the premier facilities yeah. within the world at this point, just for everything. And they also set it up so that it would be NFL friendly, yeah. which is great.
Yep.
So again, if you are a fan and you're somebody that has the opportunity, whether you're a fan or a player or whatever, to go to this event, mm-hmm. I highly recommend yep. trying to be able to make that happen in whatever capacity.
It's the best sporting experience I've ever been to in my, well, second best sporting experience I've ever been to in my life. I went to a Canelo fight at AT&T Stadium mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, yep. and that was nuts. But the game at Tottenham Hotspur in 2022 was the best football experience I've ever had. And for fans listening, whatever Jay just said, this is a must-go or must-see event that you have to be there. So yep. Tickets will be going on sale soon. We'll know our opponent soon and when that game will be. But in the meantime, we did have a Tottenham Hotspur legend here earlier this week, Mr. Letley King, who was voted mm-hmm. By the Times as the 25th best player in Tottenham history. He was here and he's doing a tour of the NFL teams that are playing games in London. And it was pretty cool to talk to him and hear his perspective. And if you haven't been on Vikings.com to check out some of those interviews with him, you should, because he's hyping it up and he is, I guess, starting to understand how the game has grown in his country.
Sure. And I know that, you know, our biggest Tottenham Hotspur fan that I know within the building is CJ Rue. And unfortunately, CJ was gone for the day. He was crestfallen. He's like, no, you got to try to get an autograph for me. You know, I think, like you said, the growth of the NFL, especially in places like Tottenham mm-hmm. at their new facility. I had been to their old facility, and the thing that's always struck me about Tottenham was there have been tons of comparisons saying Tottenham and the Vikings were on a similar path. Mm-hmm. Their old stadium was kind of like the Metrodome. New building is set up like US Bank Stadium mm-hmm. in some ways. And so to have a guy like Letley King come over, I think the thing that's going to be really fun is knowing that for like the next, you know, 6 to 8 months at this point, depending on when that game actually kicks in, we're going to be able to kind of expose them, and they're going to be able to provide some insight from in Europe as kind of to where the game is currently. I think having a guy like Justin Jefferson, having whoever we draft, you know, with these higher draft picks, being able to kind of showcase that on a global scale, it's something that we've been trying to do as an organization. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see just how much people embrace it. The thing that always stood out to me the most about those London games was it's not even necessarily, you're going to have a ton of Vikings fans that are going to come from Europe, whether it's some of the Scandinavian countries and everything coming over because it's closer. But the bigger thing is it's almost just a celebration of football. Mm. And you'll see jerseys from everybody.
Yep.
To me, the thing that's going to be great about it is having guys like Letley King and then having access to some of these other guys and gals that we're going to work with leading up to that game to be able to talk to them from the UK and some of these other global markets. It's going to be a lot of fun to kind of pick their brains, see what they think, and then be able on the flip side just to kind of get a different perspective on what the NFL means at this point.
Well, there's going to be a lot of jerseys in the crowd in Tottenham Hotspur, a lot of Vikings jerseys in the crowd at Tottenham Hotspur whenever that game is announced. Well, before we get to that game, we have to get to the NFL draft, and that is about 3 weeks away. And helping us break down who that selection might be is our friend, Mr. Bucky Brooks, who's out in L.A. with our own Tatum Everett. Let's check it out.
Joined by NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks on the set of Path to the Draft. We're only a few weeks away, Bucky. What are you most excited to see when everything evolves on April 25th?
I think it's all about the quarterbacks. I mean, there's so much conversation and discussion about the quarterbacks in this draft class. Not necessarily that we're in the golden era quarterback play, but the fascination over will there be 4 quarterbacks taken within the top 5? Everyone loves Caleb Williams, but we also have this intrigue over Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy. How those guys are going to come off the board, which ones are going to play well, all that stuff makes the draft very, very intriguing.
With Caleb Williams being a very big favorite as the first pick out, I think amongst many people doing mock drafts, when you look at a guy like Drake May, who you have recently said is a prototype of a quarterback on path to the draft, what made you think about that and really kind of want to target that about Drake?
So coming into this year, Caleb Williams and Drake May were, look, they were vying for the QB one spot in the draft. Caleb had a better final season. Drake May fell off a little bit, but drafting is about projection, not necessarily about production. And when you look at the projection of Drake May, you see the prototypical size, arm talent, athleticism, high IQ, great dude in the locker room when it comes to leadership skills. And so as you're projecting forward, he probably has the highest ceiling of any quarterback in the draft. And so what you're trying to see is, do we have a situation that will allow him to flourish? Because if you hit, you're talking about a guy who has talent like a Josh Allen and a Justin Herbert. I think if you ask many decision makers, they'll gamble on a player that has that kind of upside.
There is a fine line between the top tier quarterbacks and the ones that you can get later on that have talent as well, but maybe not in that top tier. Where does that line exist for you? And who would you consider someone to trade up for as opposed to someone you could sit back for?
So I think there are a couple of different tiers at the top. And so tier one, we talked about the four quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy in any order. And then there are two additional guys, Bo Nix and Michael Penix, that are just a notch below them. And in Bo Nix, you're getting, like both guys, you're getting very experienced players, but they play the game differently. Bo Nix is more of a intermediate specialist, where Michael Penix wants to push the ball down the field. Depending on the scheme of your offense, those guys would fit. The next tier really features a guy, Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler, coming out of South Carolina, is a guy who, look, he was the starter at Oklahoma before Caleb Williams arrived. He's a guy who was the number one quarterback in high school when he came out. He has a lot of talent, made his way to South Carolina, finished his career in a very solid fashion. He is the value pick. And so when we think about Bo Nix and Michael Penix, there's a pathway for those guys to be taken in the first round. If you don't take one of those guys, then I think Spencer Rattler on day two is going to be the first option to come off the board.
When you say value pick, what do you mean?
Well, I think with value pick, meaning I don't have to give up additional draft capital to move up and get them. I'm willing to sit and pick, and I feel good about what they could be in our system. A lot of it depends on, with all these quarterbacks, what environment are they going into? What kind of playmakers do you have around them? The pass protection, who's the play caller, and those things. In Minnesota, it's really set up where if you can find that superstar potential player, yes, that's great. But if you need someone that is more of a managerial type, you can get away with that in the short term. So a lot of it just depends on, as you're looking at the draft and you're evaluating the quarterback position versus other positions, who is the best pick for the team at that point.
Looking at your current mock draft, which I'm sure there'll be several drafts before we actually get to that point, JJ McCarthy was a name that you threw out there as the Vikings taking at number 11. Is that a value pick for them?
Yeah, I think so. There's been some conversation around JJ McCarthy being a top five pick. And he may be a top five pick, but in terms of as a player, I don't think he would rank as a top five player in this draft if we took all the positions and those things. That said, he's really intriguing because he comes from a winning program, 27-1 at Michigan, great leadership ability, great intangibles. He's willing to kind of sacrifice his own individual success for the team. And then when you look at the talent, terrific arm talent, great athleticism. What he doesn't have is a large volume of pass attempts to be able to say, hey, I'm ready to see this guy play at the next level. Really good prospect at a value pick. You talk about at 11, he'll be a nice fit.
So if they get the value at 11 and then they hold on to that 23 pick there in the first round, which direction do they go then?
I think they have to go on defense. And when we're talking about defense, we're talking about versatility, guys that can plug and play multiple positions. Think about Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean. He's a guy who has versatility. He can play outside. He can play in the nickel. He can play safety. As I'm looking at Brian Flores' defense and I'm thinking about how much pressure he brings and how much of responsibility he puts on the secondary, it takes high IQ and versatile guys to play in that back end. Cooper DeJean could certainly be a guy who could contribute and play right away.
I'll wrap the interview up with this last question. I feel like personally I've been seeing all of these jockeying of quarterbacks at the top and not knowing where teams go and a lot of trade talks. Is this one of the more exciting first rounds of the NFL draft that you've seen in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting because there's so much uncertainty. Like some years you can go in the draft and you can just close your eyes and pick the first five picks. This draft is different because you have all the quarterbacks at the top, but you have a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks. So which teams are going to aggressively find a way to get in the top 5 so they can be in range to get a quarterback, and which teams are going to take these guys in order. I think the fascination comes from, we have speculated for like most of the year there's going to be Caleb Williams and Drake May, but is Drake May really going to be number two? That's why we're tuning in draft weekend to see who's going to be the second quarterback off the board.
That's true. You'll tune on April 25th. Bucky Brooks with Path the Draft. Make sure to watch his show on NFL Network or NFL.com to get ready for the big week.
Always good to hear from Bucky Brooks. I've known Bucky since I was, 7 years old, and he's a legend in my hometown of Raleigh, North Carolina. So he just has a wealth of knowledge, and whenever he shares that with us, I just become a student of the game. So
yeah, I love that guy. It's always good to hear his perspective. He's got, like you said, a ton of knowledge.
Yep.
And so Bucky's always somebody, it feels like he's fair, you know, in his assessments of everything. Fair. And so, you're lucky enough to have been exposed to him that long.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of probably got to be kind of fun, full circle to be able to be, you know, working with him and kind of a colleague with him.
Yeah, he's a legend for sure. And Vikings fans, make sure you go to Vikings.com to check out all the interviews happening at NFL Network this week. Jay, that gets us pretty much in position to start hyping up this draft party, which is on April 25th. Doors open at 5 p.m. Central Time at US Bank Stadium. And there's going to be so many activations for fans to be a part of that night. What are your thoughts just on the excitement, the planning, the process heading into that day, April 25th at US Bank Stadium?
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, there's going to be a ton of stuff going on, kind of similar to what you were talking about. The thing about draft party for me is it's almost like the unofficial kickoff fan fest, you know, finally fans getting excited, being able to kind of anticipate and kind of everyone's kind of tends to walk into that building having anticipation of what they think is going to happen. I think the draft party is going to be amazing, and they always blow it out as best as they can. Tons of legends, tons of legends and current players that they're going to try to have there at the event. And the great thing is always going to be having the KFAN live broadcast going on too. So again, check out Vikings.com at the draft party site, and on the page it'll have everything that you need to know about possible ticketing. And again, just, you know, get yourself in the door and enjoy the evening, and hopefully we'll be finding out if we've got some possible budding new superstars here on this roster.
2 first round picks this year. We got a lot of flexibility on what we can, what we will, or what Vikings fans think we should do with that. But we know we can't speculate here, but what we can do is provide content. And we know a lot of Vikings fans are going to be hoping that the Vikings draft a quarterback with, well, somewhere in the first round. So what Pete and I will be doing next week is breaking down some of the top quarterback draft prospects film heading into draft night. So we don't know if they're going to select them, but we're going to give fans an opportunity to see how each quarterback that we highlight fits into this Kevin O'Connell scheme, if that's what the Vikings decide to go with their first overall selection.
And to kind of understand, you know, what the hype is all about. You keep hearing all these names. There's a bunch of names that are out there. This is potentially one of the deepest quarterback draft classes in history. And so for you guys to be able to do it, I love watching you guys do that, because I think it really does kind of help people understand the good and the bad side of, you know, what they have in their game. And so I look forward to seeing you guys be able to put that kind of stuff out, because I think it's going to be really helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's just another way for fans just to understand the game of football. Like we Jay, you love the game of football also. We love our jobs, but still to be able to break it down and help fans understand how to consume it, I think that makes a greater fan base, and it gives you a deeper love and appreciation for your favorite team. But film room is not the only thing that's on Vikings.com. There's a lot more. We got pick 6. Like I said, we got Tatum's interviews, but also there are some international content that was filmed yesterday that our Lifestyle and Helmets Off team film, which will be on all of our social and digital platforms. So make sure you check that out. Jay, what else am I missing?
Last thing for me is just the idea of draft weekend. You know, one of the things that we've taken pride in over the years is being able to break everything down and kind of give fans an inside look as to, you know, something more than just the surface stuff that potentially comes out here for the draft. So as excited as everybody is, we're always excited for draft weekend to be able to put out a bunch of podcasts, tons of videos, signing arrivals, behind the scenes. Everyone is really hungry to find out who the new potential superstar is on this roster.
Yeah.
So just also with the anticipation coming up here in 3 weeks, that is one of our huge go times. And so we always get super excited for that draft weekend, and we hope you are too, with anticipation, looking forward to what we got coming.
What is it? We got 2 or 3 more MVP recordings until we actually know who our first round draft pick.
Two more, and then it's draft night. So yeah.
Let's go. Vikings fans, make sure you stay tuned. So much excitement, so much to know heading into draft night. In the meantime, stay tuned to Vikings.com and all of our social and digital platforms. For our producer, Eric Davidson, Jay Nelson, and Tatum, who is in LA right now, my name is Gabe Henderson. Thank you guys again for tuning into episode 265 of the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi.
Say hello to flawlessly smooth skin at Pure Lux Med Spa, the preferred med spa of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. Specializing in elite laser hair removal, body contouring, Botox, cosmetic filler, and age-defying skincare treatments such as Diamond Glow and Skin Pen for collagen induction therapy. For more information, visit mypurelux.com/Vikings for exclusive offers to Vikings fans. That's www.mypurelux.com/Vikings.
87% of our food comes from rural America. Farmers are incredible, agriculture is incredible, and rural is incredible. Lendo Lakes is a farmer-owned cooperative and proud official sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings.